Dave, I think, is going to come and read for us this morning from Psalm 63, which is page 579, if you've got a Bible on the way in this morning.
A Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being belongs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Amen.
We have all had the experience of being thirsty. Perhaps we've been at a ceilidh and you've been dancing, and straight after the dance, what do you want to do? You want to go and get some water or something else to quench your thirst. Or it might be you're on a cycle ride, or you're doing a hill walk, and you've and it's sunny. Perhaps you're not in Scotland, you're somewhere else, and it is sunny and it's warm and you're thirsty and you need something to drink, something to quench that thirst. And this is something, this idea of thirsting is something that David, the writer of this psalm, would have known something about, more so perhaps than us. Because he would have known, and he did know, what it was to be in the desert. To be in the desert where it was properly hot and where you really did need water. You needed it to survive. To be thirsty in the desert, it's all-consuming, isn't it? It takes over your life. I need to drink. Can't think of anything else when you're in need of water. And David had that experience. He would have experienced that in his life. And many people think that this psalm was actually written while David was actually in a desert. And they also reckon that it was after he'd had to go on the run from his son Absalom. So his son basically performed a coup against David, and David had to leave the city of Jerusalem, and his life has been changed. He's in a desert place, literally, but he's also in a desert place in the sense that he's in the wilderness. He's lost his security. He's lost his throne, and his home is in the desert. And he's thirsty. And he uses this picture of thirsting as a picture of how he thirsts for God. You, God, are my God. He says, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. In the same way as I thirst for water in the desert, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Here he is in the desert, thirsty for water with a thirst that was all-consuming, and he declares to God, in the same way, I thirst after you. I thirst after your presence in my life. I thirst after your companionship. I thirst after more knowledge of you. thirsts for God. Why was he thirsting for God? Why was this the thought of God and seeking him and knowing him and having him in his life so all-consuming? Well, David kind of goes on to explain that in the rest of the psalm. Because in the rest of the psalm, he describes different characteristics of God. This God that he's thirsting after, that he's wanting to get to know better, to have in his life all the more. And there are three reasons that he gives, broadly. He thirsts after God because, first of all, because he's a God of power and of glory. So he says, I have seen you. I've seen you in the sanctuary, and I've beheld your power and your glory. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. I've seen your glory. I've seen your power. Now, we're not quite sure what David is referring to here. Was he referring to a particular time, a particular occasion, perhaps when he was out worshiping God, where he had a special experience, perhaps a vision of God, and became more aware of God's power and of his glory? That could be the case. In the Old Testament, after David, there's a guy called Isaiah, and you can read about him in the book of Isaiah. Towards the beginning of that book, we're told that Isaiah has a vision of God, and he sees God in all of his power, all his glory. And he falls down as if dead, because he's seen God's glory and power. And perhaps David had an experience like that. We might also think of some of the disciples. The disciples one day were up a mountain with Jesus, and Jesus were called transfigured. He was as bright as the sun. And Peter would later on, and John would later on talk about how they saw Jesus in his power and glory. We have seen his glory. Whatever the specifics, David has had this experience. He's come to know the wonder of God, the glory of God. And so he says, I thirst for you because this is who you are. And this is the God that we come before this morning. This is the God that we worship and have worshipped. We've just sung these words, 1,000 generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. We've seen his glory and his power. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy. And all creation cries, holy. You are lifted high. Holy, holy, forever. We have seen some of God's power and glory, and we thirst after him. Another reason why David thirsts after God, though, is that he is a God of love. Verse 3, because your love is better than life. I will glorify you. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Your love is better than life. Your love is better than anything. It's better than life itself. Is that what he's saying? Last week we were thinking about one of Paul's prayers for the Ephesian church, and part of his prayer, wasn't it, that the people of Ephesus would know the greatness of God's love, its height and its depth and its broadness. And there's a prayer, we pray that you would know the love that is so great that we can't know it. And David knew this love in his life from a young man, it seems. He had known God's love in his life personally. And it was a love that reached out to him, and it was a love that was reached out to him in his successes, of which he had some. But also, it reached out to him in his failings, which also he had some. Pretty big failings. But when he messed up, and he did truly mess up, he also knew the love that reached out to him with grace, the love that reached out to him with forgiveness, the love that led him to repentance. And he had found that this love for him was a love that was a forgiving love and an enduring love. It was a love that was patient and kind, a love that kept no score of wrongs, that always protected, always persevered. In all the changes of his life, in all the challenges that he knew that he was loved. Your love is better than life. And he thirsts after the God who loves him. And we too can know that same love for us personally. And we're also at an advantage to David, because in the years after, one of David's descendants would be Jesus Christ himself. And we can know the love of God that is revealed in Jesus. For in Jesus, we see God who is love in the flesh. And in his life, in his words, in his giving of himself for us, we see even more the love of God for us. God so loved the world. God so loved you and I that he gave his one and only Son that we might not perish but have eternal life. Does God love me? Does he love me despite all the stuff I've done? Does he love me despite what other people perhaps think of me? Well, the answer to that is yes. We read it. David would tell us. His love is better than life. It's more than life. But we also see it at the cross. God says to her, this is how much I love you. David thirsts, and we thirst after this God who loves. But he also thirsts after a God of security. Have you ever had a sleepless night? And we might have sleepless nights for different reasons, children yelling or for doing whatever they do. But many of us will also have had sleepless nights because we're worried. Things are on our minds. And it can be something quite mundane, really, in the grand scheme of things, like it can be to do with Kayleys and things. How we're going to get the lights up, how we're going to get the lights down. But it could also be about much more serious things. Things that are out with our personal control. And you're alone. And as you lie awake, you ponder the worst case scenarios of that problem at work, that problem in that relationship, that illness, that doctor's appointment, that thing that's going on in your family's life. And it seems that David also had sleepless nights. And what did he do in his sleepless nights? Well, it seems that what he did was he thought of God. And he reminded himself of how God was his helper, that God was his protector, and he clings to him. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now remember, his life is in turmoil at this point. He's on the run. He's been betrayed. What's going to happen? He doesn't know. But he remembers that with his God, he is secure. He knows that he can trust in God. He was in the shadow of his wings. He's upheld by God's right hand. And he clings on. And he knows that his God is a God of justice. And that God will one day make things right. That's what he talks about at the end of the psalm. Those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. The king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him. While the mouths of liars will be silenced. And here he's looking ahead. He's trusting in God's promises. He's trusting in God's faithfulness. He's clinging on. Because he realizes and he knows that ultimately, God is trustworthy, God keeps his promises, and God is someone in whom he can be secure. And for those of us who are in the desert today, we too can find security. A security that helps us to sleep at night. Promise of his power, promise of his strength, the promise of his presence. And even if we go down to the depths, he will be there. And there is nothing that can separate us from his love, which is more than life. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. David thirsts after God because of his power and glory, because of his love, because it's in him that he has security. Other people might thirst after other things. Worldly success, money, popularity, happiness. But But no, David thirsts after the one who could truly satisfy. And this morning, whatever our circumstances, whatever our situations in our lives, we can make his words our own. Whatever our past, whatever our fears, whatever our hopes for the future, we too can say, "You God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Let's pray together. Loving God, you are our God, and we do indeed seek you this morning. In a dry and thirsty world, our hearts long for your presence. We praise you for your power and glory. We thank you for your love, everlasting life, love, more than life itself. And we trust you for the security that you give in the dark and in the uncertain times. We thirst for you. We cling to you. And we do so through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.